are to put on and be clothed with the new person. And that's sometimes very hard. The new godly character, which according to God is created in the righteousness and holiness of the truth. So God works with us to create this in our lives. And I can tell you by experience, and I can tell you that it is true, and you know by experience, and you know that it is true, that there's many ups and downs in growing and learning and changing and spiritual overcoming. And that there are certain things that you go through, and you can look back in your life and see certain things that happened in your life, which once you have gone through and suffered those things, and once you have learned some of these things, what happens? You reach a new conviction of spirit and mind, don't you? And a new faith and determination and hope in God that you're going to go forward, don't you? Yes, you do. And that is putting on the new person, that new godly character, which according to God is creating. So God is creating in you then, for the resurrection, obviously, the righteousness and holiness of the truth. Isn't that fantastic? Now you see how Paul does the correcting, right? He lambasts the sin, saying, don't do that over here. Get yourself squared around and get your minds in the right way and be following God. Okay, as a matter of fact, the first verse of chapter 5, it says, and be followers of God. Okay, now let's go on here. Verse 25. Now you see the difference. See how it is? He holds out the glorious thing we need to do, then he does some correcting. Then he holds out the glorious thing we need to do, and then he does some correcting and telling us what to do. So verse 25 now, after having the new character, what are we to do? Verse 25. Wherefore, as you yourselves have already been renouncing and casting aside the falsehood and pseudo-sincerity of human nature, let every one of you be speaking the truth with his neighbor, because we are members of one another. He says, be angry, don't sin. There's a time for anger. But do not sin, and neither let the sun set on any of your disputes. Now, there are two good reasons for this. Number one, if you don't resolve the problem or clear it up yourself by time the sun sets, what's going to happen when you're trying to sleep? You aren't going to sleep. You're going to think about it and brood about it and bitter about it and hate about it and fight about it and relive it over and over and over and just multiply this thing in your mind. And what is that going to be? Great gargantuan clouds of leaven which are cutting off the Spirit of God, right? Right. So don't let any dispute go beyond sunset. If you can't resolve it then, put it aside until you can. But don't let it brood and brood and brood and brood in your life, okay? Verse 27. Very key verse. Do not give opportunity or so much as an opening wedge for the devil to do his work in your lives. Now the King James is, do not give opportunity for the devil. Okay? But I likened it to an opening wedge, because you don't want to be like Eve. You know, here she's strolling in the garden, bing! Hello, Eve. Has God really said that you shouldn't eat of any tree? And the woman said, well, God says we can eat of any tree except the tree in the midst of the garden. What was that? An opening wedge. Okay, so we're not to give that opening wedge for the devil to work in our lives. Verse 28. Now they had some Christians there who were doing things they shouldn't do. Anyone who is stealing, let him never steal again. But rather let him labor hard, working with his hands in that which is good. And you know this is a true living principle. They're taking convicts instead of putting them in the cell and saying, you better be good, we're going to punish you because you're a dirty, rotten criminal, which they are, that's true, okay, which only calluses them. Those who want to, because you have to have a willing attitude. You can't take a hardened criminal and make something new out of him unless he has a change of heart and a willing attitude, which is likened unto repentance. Well, what they've done up in the San Jose area, they've taken those who want to, and they're teaching them how to cook. They're teaching for professional cooking as chefs and things like this. And it is doing what this verse says here. It is giving them an opportunity to work with their hands so that they won't be crooks anymore. Or as it says here, to not be stealing anymore. Okay? Working with his hands, rather let him labor hard, working with his hands in whatever is good, in order that he may be able to impart to anyone who has need, rather than taking from him. Perfect solution. Okay? Never let any vicious word, now here's where all of us fall short. Boy, I tell you right here, this verse convicts all of us. So we all have a long way to go to get out of this, right? Right. Never let any vicious word or foul language come out of your mouth. But if there is any need or opportunity for speaking anything, let it be profitable, good, and virtuous, with a view toward encouraging edification, rather than vilifying denunciations. Do this, that it may be of benefit to others, thereby imparting grace to those who are listening, which is what we're endeavoring to do during this Feast of Tabernacles for every one of us here. Verse 30, do not grieve, frustrate, or distress the Holy Spirit of God. Boy, I can tell you, you can almost know when you do that, because God's Spirit will react in you sooner or later, and you're going to be convicted in heart and mind, and you're going to do some mighty powerful repenting. Right? Right. So when we have these words here, and when we know this, this really helps us. And also remembering about the Holy Spirit now, which I've said here, which is also the stamp of identification showing that you belong to God. Because God knows where we are. God knows where His Spirit is. And according to God, that lets even Satan the devil know that we belong to God. Hands off, devil. These don't belong to you. Okay? By which Spirit you are all sealed until the day of redemption. Now, verse 31. So here's part of what we need to do. This is part of getting the leaven out of our lives, part of getting the sin out of our lives, part of building that godly character, right? Remove and expunge all these evil character habits. Now, I want you to notice strategically where this is placed. After he's gone through all of what we would call the fourth chapter of Ephesians, now he comes right down to the nitty-gritty of some of the correction that he is bringing. Okay? And these are the things that within a congregation start the problems and difficulties, which then is so much leaven can expand and grow and sour people and attitudes. So, since we have put this away, brethren, and we are growing in grace and knowledge, we can look back and see how that happened in the churches that we were in, right? Yes. Okay? So remove and expunge all these evil habits, bitterness, indignation, wrath, complaining, criticizing, and evil speaking, which tends to blasphemy, and every form of wickedness and depravity. And come to this state of spiritual character. Now notice again, every time there is some kind of correction or denunciation of sin, what does he do? He gives you a goal to shoot for. He gives you a way out of that. Every one of these verses, what I want you to do is go back and restudy these in chapter 4. And I want you to see how he holds out the good, lambasts the evil, holds out the good, lambast the evil all the way through. And it's just like A, B, A, B, A, B. A, show the good. B, lambast the evil. But show the good and lambast the evil. So he does here in the very last verse, he says, and come to the state of spiritual character, that you be of a kind and gracious disposition to one another, even tender-hearted and compassionate, be forgiving each other exactly as God forgave you in Christ. And isn't that so important to do? Yes, it is. Remember the parable that Jesus gave. Remember the parable of the man who owed him so much money. Let's go to that parable. Let's go to Matthew 18 so we can see that, because this is very, very important. Because you see, the greatest gift that God has given us is forgiveness. And the greatest gift that we can give to each other is this very kind of thing, that kind of forgiveness. Okay? Matthew 18 and verse 23. Therefore the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants. And that's what we are before God. We're servants and he's going to take account of us. And too many times in our interrelations with people, we want God to forgive us our sins, but we're sure not going to forgive anybody their sins. So he's got a parable here to teach us. Okay? And when he began to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Now that's an awful lot. Great, huge, notorious debt. Or great, huge, notorious, disastrous, abominable, wretched life that has gone through every sin under the sun. And brethren, when God brings new people into our church, which he will, it eventually will be, there are going to be people out there who've gone through drug addiction, who've gone through homosexuality, who have gone through whoredoms, who have gone through stealing and lying and cheating and all of these things. This is the 10,000 talents that was due, okay? Now, verse 25, but for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment be made. Now you see, what is the wages of sin? The wages of sin is death. You see, do you want that payment to be made by yourself or by Christ? And if you want it to be made by Christ, what are you going to allow the other person? Okay? So the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay all. I'll take care of the whole thing. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Every bit of it. So now he's in the church of God. We'll use the analogy. And now he's overcoming and growing. And now he's reached a certain level of attainment and understanding and spirit and power of God. And now he is righteous. Not yet converted, but too many times this is how we have dealt with each other, right? Okay? Not recently, but could be. So we'll just have it here to finish the whole lesson. But the same servant went out and found his fellow servant, which owed him 100 pence, a little teeny, eeny, bitty, little nothing. Now, for women, that's how you feel when you got accosted for alleged short skirts or alleged too much makeup or all of these things, right? That's nothing, a little itty teeny nothing. So that's all he had? And he laid his hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me all that you owe me. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. But he would not. And he went out and cast him in prison till he should pay the debt. So when the fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told it unto their Lord all that was done. And then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all of that debt, 10,000 talents, because you desired it of me. Should you not therefore also have had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had on you?" Yes. Now that's the whole lesson that Paul is teaching us here in Ephesians. We're to be tenderhearted, we're to be forgiving, we're to be kind, but then on the other hand, the one who is forgiven should not then use that as a cloak and guise to go ahead and perpetrate their continued evil any more than this man who was forgiven should go ahead and then reach out and grab his fellow servant by the throat and go after every ounce of blood from him. Because here's what will happen if it isn't done the way God wants it. "And his Lord was wroth," that is, angry, "and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also to you if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses." So tremendous lesson for us, you see. So even though we come to these things which are very mature, which are very profound and uplifting and loving, it still goes back to the very foundation of the teachings of Jesus Christ. And so let's use this fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians as a guide, as a means for our individual growing and for the goal of each of us, not only of the ministry, but of all of the brethren together, so that we can attain to that spiritual tabernacle of God and dwell with Christ forever.